and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along, you know that I've been talking about a place called Babylon. That place, of course, was destroyed many years ago because of ungodliness. We also have been looking at the subject of Mystery Babylon the Great, and we've seen how that Mystery Babylon the Great was the great religious system that is going to be in the first half of the tribulation period. I made mention that even now there are shades of that Mystery Babylon the Great in the evidence that we see around us of false church, of false religion, of people who present themselves as people of God, but they are false prophets. They are not representing the God of the Bible. Well, then we started looking at Babylon, in particular, Babylon the Great. And this is found in Revelation chapter 18. We've discovered some things about that, and we've seen shades of that even in our time that we live in right now. I've mentioned the fact that there are those who are promoting world domination in the form of taking care of the money, doing things with the money that people have, watching over the money. And Klaus Schwab was the man who started the World Economic Forum, WEF, and he made the statement that no one should buy or sell without a digital health certificate. And this is something that takes away our freedom. We need to have the freedom to make our own decisions concerning our health. We need to be able to make decisions concerning our well-being and not leave it up to someone who is trying to rule the world, such as Klaus Schwab. We also talked about Bill Gates and George Soros. Well, and I made mention about a digital currency. And here's a quote. It says, having a global currency can benefit everyone in some ways. There would be no currency risk in international trades and no fear of currency fluctuations for cross-border traders. Well, I'm not going to read any more of that quote. I'm simply going to say that recently a man was arrested. He was put under arrest because he was in charge of billions of dollars of this digital currency, and he funneled some of it into the political areas that is on the left. He was not doing what was right, and he funneled this money in. He lost people's money. So it was not a matter of being safe, because this man, I've seen his picture, he doesn't look old enough to ride a bicycle even, but I'm just saying that he is old enough to ride a bicycle, but he's a young man, and he squandered, he did away with billions of dollars, and people trusted him. They invested in his company. I don't understand that, but people invested and they lost everything. Well, digital currency. And then we read of something called the World Bank. Now, the reason I'm presenting this is because this is these things are shades of the coming time in the middle of the tribulation when Babylon the Great will be really in control at that time. But we're seeing shades of it right now. The World Bank, this is a UN company, we'll say, a UN but a lot of people involved in this, and their priorities is this: food security, climate change, international development, association, IDA, and that's International Development Association, and World Bank data. Well, under this food security, here's what they do. This is the World Bank now. They gave $125 million a project to Jordan, a $300 million project to Bolivia, $315 million loan to support Chad, Ghana, and Sierra Leone, $500 million emergency food security and resilience support project to bolster Egypt's $130 million loan for Tunisia, and $2.3 billion food systems resilience program for Eastern and Southern Africa. Now, it's for sure that we need to help as many people as we can, but I'll get to that in just a moment. But notice now what the World Bank is doing, giving out money. And then we see under the shade of, we see this coming in of Babylon the Great, even in our time, we see the term climate change. The World Bank has something to do with that as well, and I don't mean they're bringing it about. They look to people and they say you're wrong if you're doing certain things to cause the climate to climb. Now, the World Bank and all of its members, they say this. They say this, that women and girls are at the heart of this, of the climate change. And then climate transitions are about people. In other words, the women and girls are at risk. And climate transitions are about people. And ensuring that they benefit all people is at its center, a challenge of gender equality. This is the World Bank. Now, there's something new here. The new action plan represents a shift from efforts to green projects to greening entire economies and from focusing on inputs on impacts. Now, there's a citation I want to read to you. The World Bank Group 2021, the World Bank Group Climate Change Action Plan of 2021 through 2025, supporting green, resilient, and inclusive development. The headquarters of the World Bank, guess where it's located? It's situated in Washington, D.C., the United States. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with us? They're just here. They're represented here. What does that have to do with us, the World Bank? Well, this is what it has to do with us. The U.S. is the largest shareholder of the World Bank, with 17.25% of its capital shares. Every World Bank president since its inception has been a U.S. citizen. Well, we need to wake up, and we need to understand that shades of Babylon the Great, shades of it, is already here. Now, some people may say, well, I don't believe that you should be judging individuals such as Bill Gates and George Soros and also Klaus Schwab and people like that. I don't believe you should be judging them. Well, let me say this. I don't judge them as such from my own view. The believers at Corinth were rebuked because they were careless in the regard of judgment and were tolerant of false teachers. Now, I say it depends on who does the judging of the person that is judging. It depends on that person. It depends upon the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little," Paul's saying here, "in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy," and in which he wanted to protect them, "for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." Paul's reprimanding these people for not standing up and judging what's going on that's wrong. On the other hand, the Bereans were commended because they carefully tested everything by the Scriptures. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so." Well, the Bible says, "He that is spiritual judges all things," 1 Corinthians 2:15. If you've been born again, the Bible says you're spiritual, and it talks about being righteous, what I'm going to read next. And if you've been born again, then certainly you're spiritual. Jesus taught that we should judge righteous judgment. If you are saved and born again, you have the right to do a righteous judgment from the Word of God. John 7:24 talks about that. And we are to judge preaching. You mean you're to judge me and judge the pastor? That's right. Not by my judgment, but by the word of God, according to 1 Corinthians 14:29. And sin in the churches are to be judged as well. So when we say that we're not to be judges, that's not entirely true. We are to use the word of God to look at things that come before us, such as world climate change, so-called, and anything else that interferes with our livelihood or our freedom. We are to go to the word of God and see what God has to say about that. And I would say to you, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what every person really in this world should have. But our Constitution is founded upon that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When that's gone, we've lost it. And we need to pray and ask God to stay the hand of the devil. Once again, we'll be out of here, a saved people. We're going to be with the Lord in the rapture of the church. We're not going into the tribulation, but we are seeing shades of that right now, and we need to be praying that God would intervene. Well, what about the end of Babylon the Great? It will come to an end. Remember, it starts in the second half of the tribulation period. It will be destroyed. In Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 21, it says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, and as such was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came to remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wrath, or the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, and every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." Now, you can read more about this, Revelation chapter 18, verses 8 through 19. But Babylon the Great will fall. And notice that when the plagues came, when the hail came, when God sent the plague upon the people at that time, they still blasphemed God. They did not turn to him. They did not trust him. Well, let me remind you that during the tribulation, there will be people saved. People will come to a saving knowledge, and there will be people going to heaven who have trusted Jesus. Many of them will give their lives for the gospel's sake, in other words, for the good news that God loved them and he sent his son to die for them. Many people will die for their testimony, but thank God they'll be in heaven with us. They've trusted the Lord such as we have, and we'll be there with them. And let me say one more thing that, you know, God has given warning to people such as I've been speaking of who are trying to lead this country and the world in the wrong way. Proverbs 10:23 says, "It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." These people who are leading the world, and especially our country, the wrong way, they don't see it. They're right in their own eyes. Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." I made mention earlier in another study, in one of our studies about the great Babylon the Great, how that I called some folks idiots. Well, God is more plain than I am. Psalm 53:1 says to the chief musician upon Maskell, the Psalm of David, "The fool hath said in his heart, 'There is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good.'" God says that people who are leading others astray by the way of the devil, they are fools. And God help them if they do not get things right with God. Let me remind you, anyone can be saved. God loves everyone, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.